So there you go. Now, can you hear me better? Y'all probably heard me just fine in here. Online, I hope you're hearing us better now. I get a little crazy. But here it is, Psalm 34. Let's read through this real quick. And it says this: I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from my fears. Those who look at to him are radiant. Their faces never covered with shame. The poor man calls and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of the troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people. For those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever you love, or whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to blot out their name from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked, and the foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord will rescue his servants, and no one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. Let us pray. Father in heaven, just so grateful to be a part of what you are doing. So grateful for your word. So grateful for the testimony that we get to be a part of. So grateful for all that you do, Father in heaven. So grateful for this place where we get to worship you and do great things in your name. It's an amazing thing that you do and that you are, Father. Please change our hearts, our minds, change our prayer lives that we may speak as David speaks, that we may lift as David lifted, that we may love as David loved. We pray these things in your Son's most precious name. Amen. So I do have a sermon example this morning. Let me bring over my little sermon example tray. By the way, I love this thing. I think this is the greatest thing in the world. Because it hides all my sermon examples till I'm ready for them. That is not the sermon example. Although it may come back. Who knows? Who knows? Who knows? You know, one of the greatest things we ever have in the world is bread. I love bread. That's all it took, huh? Okay, we're on fire this morning. We're on fire for Jesus this morning. All right. I'm going to look. Just look at this. How many of y'all love the fresh bagel, right? Some people really like these. This is a good bagel. It's the blueberry kind. Delicious, put a little cream cheese on that bad boy. You know, some people like the salmon on them and they eat them that way with the little sesame seeds and stuff on them. They got whole restaurants based on bagels, right? So bagels are good. Everybody likes a bagel, right? And then you got, of course, the wonderful cinnamon roll. Well, there it is. There it is. I was wondering how people was going to get onto that one. That's my wife makes those. They're delicious. We've had those. Probably don't want to eat this one. It's getting a little old. If you ever want to, just ask her. She'll make some. I'll hear about that later. She really does have a little business she does on the side. So, but my favorite, obviously, is the old donut, right? Boy, this is a Casey's donut. This is like second-rate donuts, okay? But it's what we got, and they're edible. Right? I really like the Dunkin' Donut. I'm sorry if you own Casey's. I feel bad. I'm not trying to make fun of Casey's, but I'm going to tell you, compared to a Dunkin' Donut, right?
And some people are big Krispy Kreme fans, right? Some people like to go there. You ever get them off the conveyor belt, right? So, yeah, this one's not just a donut, though. This is, that pumpkin donut. That's my favorite. All right, I better stop before I end up with a mob up here trying to wrap. Bread, a staple in our lives since the beginning. Since we picked grains of wheat, crushed them, brought them together, baked them, and made loaves. So important are the bread in our lives that Jesus himself is called the bread of life. So important is the bread of life that here in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is talking in verse 11, and he's telling us this very thing as he says, "Give us this day our daily bread." And there's been many, many, many things that have been written about, many things that have been discussed about, but there are only really one thing to talk about when you're talking about give us this day our daily bread. He's saying, give us life. Give us life. But what really is this daily bread, you may ask? Well, I can tell you this. It's not always what we think it is. You know, when I first read the scriptures and I first read Matthew chapter 6 and I was reading about how to pray and I got to give us this day our daily bread, I think, okay, give me what I want. This is the part where I finally get to ask for something. You know, there's all this stuff about how God's great and we should worship him and his kingdom come and his will be done. And all right, got out of the way. Now it's time for me to talk. Now it's time for me to tell him what I want. Kind of like the old wishing well, right? I paid homage, now I'm to what I want. And that's kind of what I thought. But he says to pray for it, doesn't he? He says to pray for what I need. Pray for the bread. But what we don't understand about this that maybe the Hebrew would understand is that we don't pay attention to their situation. We look at the disciples at that time, and what do they say? They have no Bible, okay? They don't have this. This right here is a convenience for us. This is a privilege for us. This is a wonderful thing that we have. They didn't have one of these back in the day when they first started this gig. They relied upon the word of mouth. They were relying upon the teachings of Jesus Christ. They were absorbing these things. Even as we see Jesus send them out two by two, he gives them nothing. He says, don't take anything with you. The sandals upon your feet, and that is it. You get to go out, and you don't take any bread. You don't take nothing with you. See, what he's calling upon them is to be like Moses and the people in the desert, relying upon God for their provision. When we call upon God to say, give us our daily bread, we go back into Exodus, into the story. And here we are, we're in the desert. And the people are in the desert. And they're crying out to the Lord, Lord, we're starving, we're hungry. How are we going to provide? We can only take so much out of Egypt. How are we going to eat? And we go to Exodus 16. Verse 2 through 7, it says this, in the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And the Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots and ate meat and ate all the foods we wanted. But you brought us out into the desert to starve. This entire assembly to death. And the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven. For you. I mean, our English translation gets that wrong just a little bit. It's actually grain. I will rain down grain from heaven. That's what manna is. It's just like a little wheat grain. They had to pick it up, scoop it up, and make bread out of it. But he says this, I will rain down bread for you. The people are to go out each day and to gather for enough for the day. In this I will test them and see whether they will follow my instruction. On the sixth day they were to prepare what they were to bring in. That is twice as much as they were to gather on the other days because you couldn't go out and gather on the Sabbath. And so Moses and Aaron said to the Israelites, in the evening you will know that it is the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us? Moses also said, you will know that it is the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because you heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You're not grumbling against us, but against the Lord. That's a very strange context to bring into, as Jesus was saying, give us our day, our daily bread. See, what the Jew would understand is he's talking about the manna. Give us today, Lord, our manna that we may survive. Give us our provision from you, God, for you are the supplier of our needs. I am here to fully rely upon you and what you are going to give me, because it's not about me, it's about you. All of a sudden, God doesn't become a wishing well. He becomes all that I am and all that I will be. He becomes my full provision in life. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3, it says this, and he humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with the manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on the every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. If we see Jesus in the desert, he quotes this very thing when the devil tempts him, and he says, look, I will give you all of these things. And he says, look, or no, he says, turn the stones here to bread. And he says, man does not live on bread alone, but on the very word of God. On the very word that he will provide for us. Here's Jesus, and he's in the struggle, and he's in the temptation, and he's saying, look, and he's being, and the devil said, hey, look, just turn it to bread, and you'll hunger no more. And he's saying, no. God is going to provide for me. I don't need to do it myself. My job is not my provision in life. I know some of us think it is. But pastor, that's how I get my money to buy my bread. How'd you get that job? Well, I'm talented, pastor, don't you know? I'm good at what I do. Really, who gave you the talent? Well, I was born with it. Who allowed you to be born? Who allowed you to exist? We go back and we talk about these things and answers to the questions of life. We get back to it, and that is it. Who allows us to very our very existence? Who allows us to exist but God in heaven above? Who knew me before I was born? Who chose me from the foundation of the world? Before the world was even made, he knew you and said, this one will be born today. And they will have these talents. And I will call upon them, and I hope that they will return and call upon my name. For that is my desire, is to be with them and to be their provision. Your job does not provide for you. Your talents do not provide for you. God provides for you. And he provides for me. And what a wonderful provision that he gives. In Matthew 6, verse 31 through 34, I love what it talks about here. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, and all of this will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough worry in itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. He says, focus on me and I will be your provision. Trouble will come. Guess what? I'm still your provision. Look, you may lose your job, but that's okay. I'm still your provision. Look, there may be this great pandemic that hits your world, but it's okay because I'm still your provision. You may be down and you may be depressed, but it doesn't matter because I am still your provision. Stop worrying about this other stuff. Focus on me and I'm going to pull you through. And I'm going to provide for you. Cast your anxiety upon the Lord, and He will heal you. Because it's not about me. It's about Him. It's about what He provides. Just like it's talking about in Psalm 34 back there. And it's in verses 4 through 6. And it says, I sought the Lord and He answered me. He delivered me from all of my fears. Those who look to Him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. The poor man called out to the Lord and He heard him and He saved him from all of his troubles. Wasn't Jesus being God that delivered him from the desert. It was Jesus' reliance upon the Father that delivered him from the desert. Do we look upon the Lord as we pray, give us our daily bread, and we remember what was provided for Moses in the desert? Even when the grumbling came against them, even when they were in their hard times. Look, I wasn't there. I wasn't there, and I can't say what I would have done or what I wouldn't have done. Because, you know, we always look back into the past, and we always think, oh, man, it was so much better than where I am. And that's exactly what Israel was doing. Man, Moses, why'd you bring us out here? We had it so good in Egypt. Don't you remember? We had pots of meat, and we ate what we wanted. Amazing how our rear-facing eyes lie to us, don't they? They say hindsight's 20/20. No, hindsight's more like 20/100. All right, cuts out all the bad stuff. Do you remember? Do you remember when they beat us with their whips? Do you remember when they murdered us in the streets? Do you remember when they starved us and starving our children? Do you remember the good times, Moses? Cried out against the Lord and against Moses. And even as we were throwing the fit, God says, I got you. Just look to me. You know, I remember being a little kid playing outside all day. For you in here that are kids, that's what we used to do. We used to go to this magical place called Outside. And we used this wonderful power called imagination. And we ran and we jumped and we rode bikes. We played baseball and football. And we made up games to play, and we did all kinds of different things. And we'd be running all day. And we'd kind of swing back by the house at lunchtime and grab a sandwich and then head back out and run. I remember I came home one day, and I was so hungry. I felt like Israel in the desert. And I cried out against my parents, I'm hungry, and you're starving us to death. Why ain't we got no food? And I stood on the porch, apparently, and I wailed. I don't remember this. You know, but I was pouting on the porch, and the neighbors were hearing, and they were coming over concerned that the children were being starved to death. I cried out against my parents and the Lord. Why did you bring us to this place to starve to death? I'd always eaten and been full. I had no reason. My father came home and said, shut up. Dinner's ready in 20 minutes. God's always providing. Just as a parent provides. We can all kind of get to thinking like that. You know, that's part of what communion's all about. You know, the blood, we tend to understand the juice being the covenant, and the blood always poured out, and the bread kind of gets lost in there sometimes. But the bread to take is just as important because it's the bread of provision and of life that God gives us to remind us every week, God is my provision. God is my life. I exist now and I exist in eternity purely because of Jesus Christ. And how do we know that? We go to John 1 and verse 14 and it tells us this, and the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. And we have seen His glory and the glory of the one and His only Son who came from the Father full of grace and truth. And we know that Jesus is called the bread of life. And that bread of life, which is the spoken word of God, became flesh that we may be saved and that we may live. If For God the Father always provides good things for those who love Him. See, God wants to provide for you. His promise is true. We just look back. What just happened with Israel? Even in their grumbling, God provided good gifts for them. Even when they were ready to turn back to the pagan worship of the gods that didn't do anything for them, even when they were ready to turn back to their slave masters, God provided for them, and God still provides today. Now, that provision isn't out there just to be tested. We see that Jesus in the desert said the same thing. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. But love Him and trust in the provision. That's what He's calling us to do. Numbers 11, verse 1, they tested the Lord, and now the people complained about their hardships in hearing of the Lord. And when He heard Him, His anger was aroused, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. He was starting to burn people down because they were testing Him. He says, look what I've already done for you. You know, there comes that time as we're praying, give us this daily bread, when our hearts start to move from that God-centered focus to the me-centered focus. See, prayer is about being God-centric, not self-centric. Prayer is about changing my sight to Him, not on myself. And I can get this way, y'all. I can get to praying and saying, Lord, this is what I want. This is what I want. This is what I want. Provide for this. Give for this. Do this. This is what I need. And all of a sudden, it becomes about what I want in this life and not what about God wants and what God is doing. That's the danger of praying. Give us our daily bread, because in the end, what are we really praying for? Are we praying for the need we have because of His will and because of His purpose, or is it because it's something I want? There's a lot of things God answers no to in my life. And that's okay. Because it's His perfection, it's His protection in the provision. But I'm here to tell you, if we test that and we continue to go out and we continue just to get and consume and consume and consume and pray for more consumption and more consumption and more consumption, God's anger still burns today. I know that's not a popular thing to say in church. You know, they're like, oh, here it comes. That's right, here comes old school pastor. God's anger still burns today, for God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, amen? It's not like all of a sudden Jesus came and God became teddy bear God. Oh, I'm not going to do anything. My anger's not going to burn anymore at all. No, the anger of the Lord still burns today. How do we know? We'll go in there and look at Ananias and Sapphira. Bang, drop dead, lied to the Lord. We look at what He did against those who stood against Him. Bang, dropped dead, still killed them. Look, guys, I'm telling you, the anger of the Lord still burns, and I don't want to be anywhere near that raging fire. Why? Not because I'm scared, but because I love Him. Because all He has done for me. Why would I test Him? Because in the end, He may just remove His hand of protection from me and say, if you don't want me, then I will remove myself from your life. And I don't want any part of that. So I don't test the Lord, but I pray to Him. And I say, God, provide for me in a manner that's going to help me. If we go to Matthew 7, I love what it says here. I'm going to say, Lord, provide for me what I need, because in the end, this is where it's at. Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11. And ask and it will be given to you. Now look, we're reading this in the context of give us our daily bread, and let your will be done. Look, it's all contextual here, because I know some people like going to pull this out and say, ask and it will be given to you. See, if you'd have just asked and believed, then you'd have won that $400 million lottery. See, the problem is, you just didn't believe. That's the biggest lie I ever told. It wasn't in the Lord's will. Look, the Lord do not want me to have $400 million, because I would just go insane. That's the problem. The Lord protection upon me. Thank you, Jesus. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. For anyone who asks receives, and anyone who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened to you. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, here we go, back to bread. Amazing how it all ties in. Will give him a stone. How many of you ask for fish, will give him a snake? If then that you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your Father in heaven gives good gifts to those who ask him? And then goes on to say, do unto others as you'd have them do to you. Just as the Father gives good gifts, give good gifts. For the Father pours out love, give love. See, our daily bread isn't just about what we receive, it's about what then for we give out. For if the God has given me the good gift of salvation and forgiveness and grace, then how much more should salvation and grace and forgiveness come forth out of me? How much more love should come out over me? When I was young, I don't know how many people still do this. You make your list for Christmas, right? Right? How many still do that with their kids for Santa Claus? Right? Right? Well, my parents always did that. And they always tried to make sure that top three items were always taken care of. And let me tell you, my dad was broke. We was broke. We weren't dirt floor poor, but we was like one up from that. Like mac and cheese and ramen noodles broke. Raising four kids on a military salary is not an easy thing to do. And yet somehow they were always able to save enough to try and take care of us in those times when we had this expectation of gifting. I remember one specific one. My mother and my stepdad, my parents are separated. My mother and my stepdad were about the same place. Only we were about half a step up from dirt floor poor there. And I remember a Thanksgiving and they said, look, you know, we're just not going to be able to have the turkey and everything this year. And I was like, wow, that sucks. And me and a stupid little kid, I complained and I grumbled and I had a sad face. And you know, Thursday morning we had turkey. I never know what they gave up for us to have that. And if that's what a parent will do for a child, how much more will God do for us? Me, who I'm evil, and I don't even know what a good gift is, how much more will the Lord provide for us? Just look what he says in Malachi 3, verse 10. Bring in the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Look, I'm going to tell you, I've been poured out upon that there's no place for me to store it. I got to give it back out to other people. I got to pour back out on other people because I can't store it inside. It comes out. Sometimes it just comes out in a little bit of weeping. You know, I don't cry. I just have overflow of the Holy Spirit, you know, and blessing. That's my catch-22 around men don't cry. I don't. I got overflowing blessings coming out. God pours out in such abundance. He said, test that and see if it isn't true. See if I won't open up the storehouses of heaven. Boy, one of these days I'm going to get to see some storehouses in heaven. I'm going to be like, holy mackerel, I had no idea. I had no idea what the Lord was ready to pour out for those who would trust him. Psalm 34 and verse 10. And the lions grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Notice what that says. Those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Not those who, I hope you wore your steel toes because I might step on some toes this morning. Not those who show up on Sunday, check their checkbox and say, good enough. Those who seek the Lord. That's a daily thing. He said, give us our daily bread. He didn't say, give us our Sunday bread. Thank you, Lord, for giving us some Sunday bread today. That was awesome. I'm going to go do what I want the rest of the week. No, he didn't say that. He said, give us our daily bread. He says, this is something you're going to have to pray for every day. This is something you just got to cling to. You got to grasp hold of. We read it in Hebrews. He said, grasp hold of your salvation and don't let go. This here says, seek the Lord and he will pour out and you will have lack no good thing. But you got to go seek him and you got to seek him every day. And if you're not seeking him on Tuesday, you're going to lack some good things on Tuesday. And if you're not seeking him on Friday, you're going to lack some good things on Friday, because it says, seek the Lord and you will lack no good thing. You will lack no good thing. For God is gracious as much as he is generous. And I'm here to tell you, there's a lot of times in my life where I've had to repent and come back in my prayer time, and I'm like, Lord, I wasn't seeking you very good today. I sought the couch pretty good today. I sought not doing much. I sought doing my own thing and not being in your provision of your word. I sought doing a lot of things other than praying. I need to turn my heart back, Lord. Turn my heart back to your provision. Because while the couch is comfortable, it's only comfortable for a little while. Because I'm going to have to get up. It's only in your provision that I find an eternal provision. So when we pray these things, we then have to accept what we pray. That's something I'm learning. You know, a lot of things we pray, and we pray with our rubbing hands prayer, is what I call it, right? Ooh, Lord, I hope I get this. Like my Christmas list. Ooh, I hope I get number one. That's a good one. I don't know. We're going to see where Santa Claus at this year, because I'm just not sure he can do that. And we get that wringing hands prayer going on, going, man, I sure hope, God, you answer this. I really need it. I need this big win. Look, I need the Texans to win today, Lord. I need it. I know. That's a big prayer to ask even for God. But do we pray instead with expectation that God has already provided? See, when they woke up in the morning, the bread was there. Do we wake up every morning understanding that God's bread is already laid before us? Your provision is already there for the day. All you have to do is pick it up and bring it in the house and make the bread. Your provision is laid out for you every single day as you pick up his word and you read his promises and you see that they're true. This thing has never let me down. God's word never lets me down. He always provides for me in a powerful way. As I'm reading through it, I'm struggling through things. He says, look inside of here, because this is your daily bread. I promise I will have provision for you. Hold tight. And then act like you believe, James 2:26. As the body without the spirit is dead, and so faith without deeds is dead. Do I pray on it and then act on it? You know, one of the things we did last week, prayer or church in the park, well, that was a great time, right? I'm wondering where everybody else is, right? We had a bunch out there. I'm hoping you're watching online. When we started to plan this, and we were praying about it, and we started bringing these things together, and I prayed out there, and I said, Lord, this needs to happen. We need this church in the park. People need a place they can go, they can feel safe. It's outside. They can distance. We can have a lot of people there. Lord, and we're trusting in you. Provide for us in this. Let's do it. And I prayed on and prayed on, and Caleb came to me and said, hey, what's our backup plan? I said, there ain't one. I prayed about it. I've accepted it. It's going to be right. There's going to be no weather that day. We're doing this. Do we pray like that? Or do we have a backup plan? We pray to God to provide. Well, if God fails, I'll pull up the slack for God. What an arrogant thing we do with a backup plan. God, you're going to provide, but it may not be good enough for me, so I got my backup plan. Because I can do it right. Do we pray and believe in what we pray for? Do we do and believe in that? Because in the end, if we're not praying like that, that's not seeking the Lord. That's not asking and knocking and opening the door unto him. That's hoping in the invisible, something we don't necessarily believe in. But when we pray to the Lord, we pray with this expectation, and He's going to answer with us, because it's exactly what He said in Psalm 34. He said, He will answer you. I have heard you. It's what He did in the desert, as He said, I heard your cries and I answered you and I provided for you. It's exactly what Jesus is saying in Matthew 6 verse 11, and pray for your daily bread and He will provide for you. It may not look like what you want. It may not be what you want, but it'll be the provision that you need. It'll be the one that'll carry you through. It'll be the bread of life that brings in abundance in your life, peace and hope and love and joy and this wonderful gifts of the Holy Spirit that He gives to us, these wonderful gifts of being in Him, this wonderful fruit that He produces within us. It will always be that. And it's just as we pray, we remember Joshua 1 verse 9. When we really pray and we really believe, then Joshua 1:9 really comes into play. And it says, have I not commanded you to be of good courage? Do not be afraid or discouraged. For I am with you wherever you go. Do we believe it, church? I know I do. And I couldn't live my life without His daily bread. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your provision that we have, Lord, and that we have in such abundance. It's beyond our comprehension or our understanding. You have poured out your storehouses upon me. You've given me all that I've ever needed. And I pray, Lord, that if there's somebody out here today who needs you to be their daily bread, Lord, they would repent, they would come to you this day, that they would call upon you to be their daily bread. We thank you, Lord, for these things, and we pray this in your Son's name. Amen. Let me tell you, if you ain't got daily bread, life don't mean much. You struggle against the tide, and sometimes you get lucky and something works out. I've come to a point in my life, not because I'm better than anybody, not because of anything other than the provisions God has given me, other than the things I've seen and that He has pulled me through. I've come to a point in my life where I never worry about where my next meal is. Praise Jesus. I'm worried about the roof over my head. Praise the Lord. Because there are people in this world that love God just as much as I do that are still struggling with those things even. But He finds a way to provide. And there's two options in all of this. Number one, we can trust in the Lord, or we can trust in our own selves. And if you're here today and you're tired of trusting yourself, and you want to trust in the Lord, and you want to call upon His provision, which is good and abundant and holy, then this is the time. This is invitation. If you're in the Lord and you just need a refresher on that, then I'm here to pray for you. I'm here to lift you up. And if you're not in Christ Jesus today, if you haven't accepted that beautiful gift of salvation, if you don't know that provision, then today is it. Today is that day. He's calling on your heart. He's saying, stop sitting. Stop standing there wishing you knew what this was because of your own fears. He's saying, answer me today. As I love you and lift you up, as we stand and we sing, will you respond? Mm-hmm.